Susanna Moore's novel In the Cut, about a young woman in New York City who walks too far over on the wild side, is her best-known book, partly because Jane Campion turned it into a movie starring Meg Ryan and Mark Ruffalo.
You friends with Avery?
Do I know you?
Detective Malloy.
There was a homicide last Saturday. The deceased was seen in a red turtle the same night that you were there.
But Susanna Moore has written novels about young women growing up in the rustic dreamscape of her native Hawaii, and women in prison, and English ladies in colonial India. And she's not just wide-ranging on the page. Over the last few years, she's lived in Calcutta and Dublin and Japan and a half dozen other exotic places. Her new novel is called The Life of Objects, and she's here with me now, Susanna Moore. Welcome back to Studio 360.
Thank you, Kurt.
So, as I indicate in that introduction, your novels sort of hopscotch across time and space. What made you settle on World War II Germany?
I was very interested by a very particular study done by a woman of her own life called Lali Horseman, No Time for Tears, which was published in the 60s. She's dead now. And it was about her life with her husband, Freddie Horstmann, on their estate outside of Berlin during the war. And then that got me thinking.
So the basic story, for those who haven't yet read the book, is this aristocratic German sort of apolitical, well-bred, non-Nazi couple and this girl, this Irish girl who comes to work for them. Did you think, once you decided, okay, I'm going to write a novel set in Germany in World War II, that this is such well-trodden territory that I better be careful not to seem too familiar?
Yes, I was very worried about that. And when I was writing the book, I was often overcome by a realization of my own naivete, which had not prepared me for all that was required. And I don't mean simply information. I knew I had to find a way to enter Germany, enter that world as an outsider, as someone, and even not only an outsider, but someone ignorant, as Beatrice is ignorant. She's very young, you know, 19.
Don't I recall knowing that your grandmother worked as a lady's maid?
Yes, yes. My grandmother was Irish, and as a girl, really for most of her life, worked as a lady's maid to a woman in Chestnut Hill in Philadelphia, and caused a lot of trouble, actually, for her daughters, particularly my mother, because it gave her ideas about class and behavior. And she molded my mother in this image, even to the point of dressing her in her mistress's hand-me-downs. Which,
as a child, really?
Well, no, as a young girl, and also it really is what attracted my father's attention, whose family was old Quaker Philadelphia. And I mean, it worked in the beginning. My father married her, but I think it was had a lot to do with her undoing as well, because she was pretending to be something that she wasn't.
You've taught creative writing to prison inmates, to GED students, to kids in shelters, all of which sounds like things that, you know, a young 26-year-old MFA would do, trying to scrape together a few dollars. Why do you do it as a major American novelist?
Oh, well, scrape together a few dollars. There's no pay for these jobs. Why do I do it? I suppose in psychological terms it has to do with my mother's death when I was a child, and a sense that or a compulsion, really, to do what I can to help, to keep someone alive, I suppose. But also, it's in a selfish way, it's really, really interesting and exciting. I mean, my students in prison are so provocative, interesting, stimulating.
And is teaching those people how to write entirely different from, for instance, as you've done for the last few years, teaching Princeton undergraduates how to write?
Yes, it is different. Because my students in prison, or the young men I teach who are often just out of prison, I don't have them write fiction. I have them write their autobiographies, which is hard for them because in their culture, you don't talk too much about what's happened, as they frequently say to me, why do you want us to put our business in the street? And then I say, you're not putting it in the street. You're just doing it for me and for your fellow writers. So there's a resistance to that. And also for many of them, there's lack of knowledge. They don't often know very much about their parents. They don't know too much. Some don't even know when they were born.
And when you sit down with a fresh class of eager, high-achieving Princeton kids, what is there some mirror image set of problems they have in writing about themselves?
No, you know, of course, they know far too much about themselves. And they are accustomed to thinking about themselves and their own cosmologies and stories. And they're very familiar with all of that. And also, you know, now parents are talking to children about everything. And so my Princeton students, they don't know very much about literature, perhaps, but they do know a lot about themselves.
A decade ago, after this enormous success of In the Cut, were you tempted at that moment to say, wow, this really worked. I'm going to become a kind of genre writer of erotic thrillers?
I had the completely opposite reaction, which is I never want to write another sex scene and haven't, as you may notice. No, I was so what I did not want to become. And also for a long time, I think it was expected of me. So that whenever I was asked to write an article or give a talk, it was always on something like garter belts or sex as power. I was quite horrified by that. You know, no one was asking me to write about Smollett or Fielding, but about sex.
And then you published a novel about a women's prison, and probably people thought, oh, women's prison. But once again, you didn't satisfy the prurient interest.
Well, I suppose there is sex in that book, but mm-hmm. not at all like In the Cut. And also, people have said to me that when they read In the Cut, they kept looking at my photograph on the back. It was a bit unnerving.
And once was enough.
The character is not me.
Yeah.
Once was enough, yes. I learned my lesson.
Susanna Moore, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kurt.
Susanna Moore's new novel, The Life of Objects, is just out.